So, yeah, a couple weeks ago on Saturday, a couple Sundays ago, actually, I was taking the kids, thank you, Woody, to Zesto's, and we took our classy van out there. I don't know if you guys have noticed that or not, but it's kind of an eyesore, but it works, kind of. It has no air conditioning. It has no blower fan to blow any kind of air out of it at all. And it gets rather warm in there, and if you don't have all the windows open, you might melt. I've felt like I'm about to melt in there many times. So on this particular day, there was no rain in the forecast until we started driving. And it began to pour, and all the windows are open and everything, so we're rolling those up, and I go to flip on the wipers, and they start working, but then one stops, the other one keeps going, and then it just stops. And I'm like, great, it is pouring down rain, and I cannot see a thing, and I've got a bus full of kids right here. So to show you kind of the sacrifice that some of these kids have, one of them is in the front seat with me, and he reaches around the front and tries to flip the thing to see if it's stuck or if it just is not working. Well, it wasn't stuck, it just stopped working. But anyway, every now and then it would like randomly flip and go back and forth, and then it would just stop. Finally, the rain stopped, and thank God we didn't crash into anything. So, whew. So let's just say that all those kids made a sacrifice being in that van with me, and I appreciate that. And let's just say that their faith in Christ holds them together than the spitballs that are holding that thing together. So, if anybody has any idea of somebody who'd like to donate a new van, we'd be all open arms about it. You know, before I began working with teenagers, I had a pretty simple and misguided view of what they're like, because after all, it's only been 10 years since I myself was a teenager, and I knew that I had been lazy, I'd been irresponsible, disrespectful, and at times I just didn't care. So I thought this was the kind of environment I'd be going into working with youth. But pretty soon I found out that my simple-minded approach to it was going to be changed the closer I worked with them. First of all, they are people just like everybody else, believe it or not. They're not some weird species or whatever like that. They are people. And they're in the middle of a huge struggle between childhood and adulthood. And just as with any other struggle in life, they need support and guidance, not stereotypical put-downs, and that make them feel unimportant. And contrary to popular belief, they actually do want structure, they crave information, and can also spot a fake person at about 100 miles away. So what have I learned from teenagers? Well, first of all, I can learn a lot from the pictures I've taken of them, or from the pictures that they've taken when they've hijacked my phone and taken their own pictures with them. So the first one would be one where they hijacked my phone and they decided to be really serious in this picture. And then I also know that they can make adults look like the weird ones. I don't know what Carissa's doing with the sunglasses in the back there, but okay. They'll also take really weird close-ups. That's really weird. They really like to have fun. This was a good van that we were in when we went to Cedar Point last year. They'll steal your stuff. Dathan stole my sweatshirt and then DM'd me on Instagram and said, hey, do you like my sweatshirt? And I was like, yeah, it looks familiar. And they can be sweet like these two, or they can just be really creepy. Very creepy, actually. So, with that said, all jokes aside, they are just as much a part of God's kingdom as anyone else. And I see Christ in all of them. Underneath the weirdness are gentle souls trying to find their way in this world. And it is an unkind world that constantly screams at them that they must have the latest this or that, that they have to look and dress a certain way, that they will never be good enough. And that's what youth ministry is all about, helping them to understand who they are in God's eyes and not the way the world sees them. In fact, in 1 Timothy 4:12, it speaks straight to young people when it says, "Don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity." And you may not know many teenagers that you think live their life this way, but the ones in those pictures and the other ones that even aren't in those pictures, they definitely do. And they may not always act mature like we would like them to be all the time, but they are authentic young believers. And when you throw in the fact that most of the kids that we work with are athletes and or very good students, it's amazing to me that they actually have a level head on their shoulders still, because if I had had those talents when I was a kid, I would have thought I was really something. And I wasn't. I was chubby, uncoordinated. The only thing I had for me was school, kind of, and I wasn't really good at that either. So, anyway, they understand that the gifts that God's given them are sacred, and they are thankful for the blessings that he's given. Still, it's easy for us all to say that, well, this generation is lost because all they ever do is play with their technology. They can't even talk to people anymore. But while technology does have its downsides, hasn't every generation thought that the next one was somehow inferior? If we're truly honest with ourselves, a lot of that mentality comes from the fact that we see the past as safe because it's already happened and we know we made it through. So when things go wrong, we tend to go back to those moments that have already passed because they're safe. And this unpredictable future that we all have, we get scared and we just keep running back. And it's not a bad thing, but in our search for safety and comfort, we can end up alienating the next generation. So I am slowly learning to embrace the teens the way where they are at, because they embrace me where I am at. And that's not all they've taught me. They've taught me grace. A few weeks ago, I don't know what I was doing, but I totally lost my train of thought in the middle of a message, and they didn't judge me. They just gave me a second to find out what I was doing, and they gave me a second chance to retrace my steps. They've shown me forgiveness. Just this past Wednesday, I had to cancel our guys group that meets biweekly, and I know they weren't happy about it, but they gave me a break, and they love me anyway. They have shown me love, especially when a teen comes up to you and says thank you and gives you a hug for something that you've helped them with. You definitely can tell that these strange creatures called teenagers are full of love. They also have shown me integrity. Faced with the everyday peer pressures that come with being a middle school or high school student, time and time again, I have watched them make the right choice. They have chosen the narrow road and also the road that few of their peers choose to go on. They've also shown me faith. Many times as an adult, we can easily become complacent about our faith and think that we have more answers than God has. But they've shown me that I'm wrong when I think that way. They've shown me that having the faith of a child is what really works. Another thing I've learned from teenagers is that I need to be more flexible. It's kind of in my DNA to have things set a certain way, and then if something comes in and interrupts that, I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, alarms are going off, and I'm like freaking out. But when you're working with teenagers, everything's a surprise. They randomly will tie themselves up in caution tape, or they'll flush something down the toilet that shouldn't go down the toilet. And I mean, there's just all sorts of things that happen, and they keep you on your toes. And so they've shown me that I need to be more flexible. And I mean, that's something ministry in general, but especially with teenagers. Another thing I've learned is that these kids want to be discipled. They don't just want to be entertained. A recent article that you might have seen floating around on Facebook speaks about the characteristics of teens who don't end up leaving the church after high school. First of all, these are the three things. First of all, they are fully converted Christians, Secondly, they have been equipped, not just entertained. Thirdly, their parents preach the gospel to them. There is one of these three characteristics that especially speaks to me. They have been equipped, not just entertained. Too many youth groups tend to focus on just entertainment and very little discipleship. The result is a large group of teenagers that ride solely on emotion, and when the supply of that emotion dries up, there goes their faith. And that's why I am so committed to the fact that when these kids get to their senior year and they know what college they're going to, I'm going to be finding out what that college has to offer. Because I know personally, when I was in college, if I wouldn't have been part of, for instance, campus ministry at IPFW, my whole walk and who knows where I would have ended up would have been totally different. These kids face a lot of attacks from the enemy. And in 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." And this is no joke when you consider how many young people are leaving the church. It's very easy to err on the side of entertainment because they love it, but in all actuality, they get a lot of entertainment through so many other ways too. What they need to hear from us is truth and sound doctrine. Not presented in a boring way, obviously, but not hijacking their emotions either. Just as the American Christian church in general, discipleship has been thrown out to the back burner. Why? Because it's hard work, and discipling teenagers can be a very big challenge. But Jesus never said that it was going to be easy. He did say to do it. If we don't disciple our children, the chances of discipling them as they get older decrease greatly. In fact, in the American church, there is a major problem with discipling. Like so many youth groups, churches tend to focus on conversions and baptisms and leave discipling to others to face, for others to take care of. But when we leave it to somebody else, it usually doesn't happen at all. So that's what I'm trying to avoid at all costs. Youth group on Sunday nights is an awesome start to discipleship, but we want to take it further than that. With the guys group and the girls group that we have going on, we break the guys and girls apart so that we can dive deeper into issues that are affecting them. It's a great opportunity for them to be with a group that can be vulnerable and honest with each other about the problems they face. And through these groups, I've seen things like depression, anxiety, addictions, just to name a few, that have been brought out into the light so that Satan no longer has a hold on them anymore. And it's from this point that the healing can really begin, and it's truly a beautiful thing to see. Like I said, these kids have an unlimited supply of weapons being thrown at them constantly every day. But the kids that I get the privilege of working with, like I said earlier, they really get it. And yeah, they're not perfect. Who is? But they know what the right choice is to make, and they do it. I'm really looking forward to this year because we've got so many different opportunities coming up. And one of those is a big conference in Indianapolis for youth that's going to be in December. And we're going to be doing some fundraising for that. And I forgot to bring the peanuts up here, but we're actually going to have a peanut fundraiser. It may sound a little weird, but Texas Roadhouse does this thing where they give you a box of peanuts and you have 100 bags, and on the bag there's an appetizer coupon for a free appetizer, and so you sell them for like $3 a piece. You guys get a good deal because you're getting a free appetizer, and the appetizer you're getting a couple dollars off, and you get a bag of peanuts. Texas Roadhouse peanuts are amazing. And who doesn't like Texas Roadhouse, right? I love them, especially when they're all over the floor and you're crunching them and everything as you walk out. I was just thinking that the other day, I was thinking, what if I had a peanut allergy? I would never be able to go to Texas Roadhouse. I would never be able to go there. I would die the second I even got within 10 feet of it. So I really, really feel sorry for anybody who has a peanut allergy. That's a bummer. So I think Rob's going to come up here on that note.
Thank you, Shane. Thank you, Shane. I appreciate Shane so much, and I know I don't tell him enough. I'm usually making fun of him in some way, so today I decided I wouldn't do that, although I just did back there, so I'm sorry you didn't hear it. But what they do, what Shane and Nikki do with the teens is invaluable. And if you work with teens at all, you know exactly what it's like. They're amazing. Teens are amazing and the most frustrating that you could, you know, that they could be. And so all in the same. And so what they get to do is awesome. I, you know, being a youth pastor for 7 years, I just, every time I would go in front of students or in front of, like if I taught JA at a school and everything, I said, I just want you guys to know, I think you're worth something. Because your society is telling you you're not. And I really believe that you are. And they prove that and show that on a daily basis. And I know Dathan, man, he texts Shane all the time. And we'll tell him things way before he'll tell us. And Shane doesn't even tell me those things, which is, you know, frustrating. But good, you know, because they got to build that trust. So what I want to do now to just kind of end our service today is I want to pray over people that are working with teenagers. And so I want to pray over Shane, and I want to pray over Thor. Thor is a teacher at Miami Middle School and teaches history there. This morning, Sean Gray, she is a teacher at Wayne High School, and just had a really rough first couple of weeks and the things that are going on there in the school and with some of the students. She's the type of teacher that is really involved in the students' lives. And a lot of them come from homes where their parents aren't involved. And so it's a really, really big deal. And so we're actually starting something. She's starting something. We're going to be a part of this thing called Generals for Jesus. And it's just a vision that she had to have once a week where we will go to the school, and it's not just Level 13. I mean, other churches or other people can get involved in this as well, but we're just going to throw out some like cornhole or some games like that, have some music and have some hot dogs and things as they leave school. And just some of them, it might be the only food that they get before they go back to school the next day. She says there are constantly people coming in to her and saying, do you have anything for me to eat? And I mean, these are high school kids, and so just breaks your heart. And so she is so, so involved with that. And so we're going to be doing that. If anybody wants to be involved in that, we don't know the exact day yet. She has an amazingly supportive principal, but we're still trying to figure out exactly when we're going to be able to do that. We also have some superstar youth ministry workers here in Zach and Savannah Laby. They are Youth for Christ leaders in New Haven. And Friday, we were able to go to the middle school, because Savannah's the middle school leader, Zach is the high school leader, and they had this thing called a donut dash, is that right, what it was called? And they had 20 dozen donuts that were donated, and there was like over 150 kids that showed up for this donut dash. And they didn't have a campus ministry before that. And I remember sitting with them the week before, and they're like, I don't know, I think 50 would be amazing if we had 50 people show up. But if 10 show up, they're going to get fat because there's a lot of donuts. And so it was incredible. It absolutely was incredible. So I'm going to have them come up as well. Thor, I want you to come up. I'm going to let Savannah tell a story really quick because she said she likes to talk in front of people. So just maybe of a student or something that is going on. So come on up, guys.
Okay, well, he told me on the way in, so I wore my comfies today. I totally would have picked a different outfit had I known ahead of time, but this is who I am. So, okay, yeah, so we do work with middle schoolers. We work for a ministry called Youth for Christ, and there's like three different things that fall under that, but we are in campus life. So campus life is we go into a public school and build relationships with teenagers. So outside of that, we can go to sporting events and practices and yeah, lunches, we go eat lunch with them. We just be where the kids are and get to know their stories and their lives. So Anyway, we met this girl. Her name, well, should I say her name? I guess. Her name's Sydney. And probably 3 weeks ago, she came to a church in New Haven called Grace Gathering. And she went up to get prayed for. They have a time where they have people up there to pray. And there was a woman coming up she wanted to be prayed for as well, but met Sydney. And Sydney said, started talking to her because she thought that person was going to pray for her. Anyway, the lady ended up leading her to Christ. And Sydney just was broken and fallen, tears. And she came up and met me. And she's like, I heard you are our campus life director. And I was like, yeah. And she's crying. And she's like, I just gave my life to Christ. And I don't know what to do now. And I'm like, that's awesome. I was like, well, let's hang out. So I got her number there. And anyway, she didn't know the story of Adam and Eve. She didn't know Moses. She knew that Jesus died on the cross, but she didn't know he died with her sin. So yeah, it was crazy. So Wednesday we went out and I bought her a Bible and got her name on it. And she has been reading and reading and reading and soaking it all up. We got a children's Bible with pictures too, so she could go through the Old Testament and really understand the stories. Anyway, I talk a lot. Is this okay? Okay. So anyway, she is getting baptized the 20th. So her story, I mean, these kind of stories happen a lot. Zach knows two boys who are twins, and we've known them since they were sixth grade, and they're seniors now, and they gave their life to Christ in January, and were baptized a few weeks ago. So it's just so cool to see God working in public schools, because there's a lot of brokenness and hurt and pain that these teenagers go through. So to have a group that they can go to or a youth group is awesome. And another thing is we, like Campus Life, we are the vehicle to get them to church. So we go into the brokenness and the trenches and get them and then plug them into churches. So it's great to partner with Shane and other youth pastors who we can kind of hand them off to. So anyway, that's kind of what we do.
Zach is a man of few words. Savannah makes up for it. So yeah, we want to pray over them. We want to pray that all the teachers know that she is not a student in the middle school. When we were there Friday and there's 170 kids, and I'm like, where's Savannah? It's really hard to pick her out amongst the middle school kids. Anyway, so. But yeah, we just want to pray for them. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities. Someone even said that after first service said, we want to give to Generals for Jesus. Can we write a check to Level 13 with that on the tagline? I'm like, yes, that would be awesome. We want to support Zach and Savannah and the things that they are doing. They have a newsletter that they put out, and we would love to be able to give that to people. They want as much prayer support as that could possibly be, you know. And volunteers, yes, that would be great. 175 kids was pretty crazy. And what's that? Oh, yeah. That's like half the middle school, which is pretty crazy that they all wanted to come to that. And, you know, they're amazing at that, and it'll be great. And I can't get up at 6:30 every Friday, so we really need, you know, help with that. So anyway, cool. Well, I'm going to have them stay up here. And Thor, if you would come up here. He works with teens all the time as well. And Shane, come up here. And then I'm just going to ask everybody, if you would like to come up and surround these teachers, these disciplers, these people who live out the gospel every day in front of teenagers. And we could just lay hands on them and pray over them. That would be absolutely awesome. Their job is not easy, but yet they love, absolutely love what they get to do. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we have to teach and to disciple youth. And I know that we have kids, we have teenagers that are coming from so many different backgrounds and so many different situations, some that just aren't fair, that the things that they have to deal with on a daily basis. And many are represented here with just these four. And there's youth workers all over the city and people, teachers, and people that reach out to them in so many different ways. These four here live out the gospel in front of them. God, I pray that in every class that Thor is teaching, that the gospel will be shown through his actions and through his words. I pray, God, for Zach and Savannah as people, as students come to have fun, but they realize through a relationship with them that they can have a relationship with Jesus. And I pray for Shane, I pray for Matt and the youth ministry at Level 13. God, as they disciple, as they teach, as they get to hear stories of what you're doing in the schools. God, I pray that you will lead them. I pray, God, that you will give them the words that need to be said on a daily basis to point people towards you. God, I pray that you will protect each of them and their families, God. I pray as they invite students into their lives, God, that you will protect them. God, I pray that you will protect the students and the schools that are represented here, along with Wayne and Sean and the things that she gets to do on a daily basis and the hard conversations that she has. God, help us as a church to know our part, to be your hands and feet to a generation that our society would rather just forget, at least until they get old enough to contribute. God, may we be the voice of hope that tells them that they're important now, that their life is important now, and it's worth something now. God, and they can teach us who you are through their actions, through their words, and the way that they respond and act and love. Thank you for the privilege to lead teens and to lead people to a growing knowledge of who you are. And we love you. We pray for all these things. In the name of Jesus, amen.